Hey everybody, I'm going to take a look at Luke chapter 21. Of course, we're nearing the crucifixion, and this is a crucial passage in that section. We'll start in verse 9. And when you hear of wars and tumults, do not be terrified, for these things must first take place, but the end will not be at once. And then he said to them, nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places, famines and pestilences. And there will be terrors and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors for my sake. This will be your opportunity to bear witness. Settle it therefore in your minds, not to meditate beforehand how to answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which none of your adversaries will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be delivered up even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and some of you they will even put to death. You will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your lives. So in this last section of Jesus teaching with his disciples in the Gospel of Luke, he does a lot of what we call, a lot of what traditionally people have called end times teaching. But what's important to understand about most of this material is that it's all about the years near Jesus' time. In other words, most of what he talks about here and in the following verses is fulfilled within 100 years of Jesus' teaching, within 50 years of Jesus' teaching. So notice the context is the disciples drawing attention to the beauty of the temple. And again, the temple was spectacular, and the building itself and the building of the Temple Mount, the foundation upon which it was built, it's all spectacular. It's amazing in terms of its engineering. Of course, the temple is not there anymore, but the Temple Mount remains after 2,000 years. And in Jesus' day, the construction wasn't even done. So it really was astounding. I would consider it one of the wonders of the ancient world, never officially listed by any of the historians of the time, but it is amazing. And Jesus says, well, guys, it's over. Now remember, we have been hitting this theme repeatedly as Jesus has made his way to Jerusalem, because the master is returning to inspect his vineyard, to inspect his house, and to look for the fruit that he deserves from it, and he's not going to find it. And so he is declaring it, has declared it, cursed. In fact, Jesus' last departure from the temple may be seen as the moment when he's departed and said, the glory's departed, the temple needs to be destroyed. Jesus says, not one stone will remain upon another. In Leviticus, the priests are commanded to inspect houses that have mildew or mold. And if the mold doesn't go away after removing a brick here or there, the whole building is supposed to be disassembled brick by brick and removed. So this is Jesus' way of saying, well, this is a house and it's contaminated and the contaminant has not been contained and so it must be destroyed. Then Jesus lists all kinds of things that were to take place: wars, rumors of wars, famines, earthquakes. All of these things happened in the years between Jesus' resurrection in 70 AD when the temple was finally destroyed. To use just one example of wars and nation rising against nation, in the year 69 AD, it's called the year of four emperors. There was basically civil war in the Roman world. It was terrible. It was chaos. There was a fighting for power between emperors. There was a succession of four emperors. Finally, the emperor Vespasian took control, and he's going to reign for another 9 years. But the point is, all that happened then. He says, you will be arrested and tried in synagogues. You will appear before kings. Well, that looks basically like an itinerary or outline of the book of Acts. So again, the point of all this is all of this took place. Jesus is predicting something within that generation that was about to take place. There will be signs in heaven. You know, a lot of the biblical language of the collapse of the planets or the sun and the stars and the moon very often speaks of those planets are symbols of world leaders, and it's a collapse of a system. So I would suggest, among other things, the primary thing Jesus is emphasizing here is the end of a world, namely the old covenant world of the temple and the temple system, because God is moving on to build a new temple and a new system. There's an interesting statement at the end where Jesus says that some of you will be put to death, but not a hair of your head will be harmed. Well, that's interesting. It seems as though the hair doesn't matter. What if you're put to death? I think this is Jesus' way of saying final safety, ultimate safety, the safety that comes from being secure in my kingdom and being known by me. That's what matters. And if you remain, if you endure through all of these hardships, you will ultimately be safe, even if they take your life from you. The thing I want to focus on, though, here just at the end is that Jesus says, listen, you're going to be arrested. You're going to be put before various authorities of various kinds. And he says that will be opportunity to bear witness. And he says, don't prepare defenses and speeches ahead of time. I think the commentary here is this. The gospel can't be stopped. I mean, we have a world in chaos. Jesus is describing the end of the old temple system, political turmoil unlike we've ever known, pestilence, earthquakes, just disaster everywhere. But Jesus says, hey, listen, don't let it freak you out. All this is going to happen. But what you're looking for is the opportunities to bear witness. And it's not like you have to plan these out. It's not like you have to engineer them and orchestrate them. Even when you think there's all kinds of roadblocks, there's opportunities. And just prepare in advance that you're going to be able to speak to those as the Spirit gives you utterance at the time. Just to map this onto Paul's life, Paul is in prison, and he's worried that the Philippians are going to think, well, that's it, the gospel's hosed, and you know this whole project is hosed. And Paul says, no, 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 guys, what you don't realize is every roadblock is an opportunity for the name of Christ to be lifted up. And so Paul is absolutely confident in the invincibility of the gospel. So I would just encourage us to take heart as well. We're in a very confusing time in politics. We have COVID, and who knows what COVID's going to look like before it all settles out. It looks like, oh, well, we've got to put things on hold. No, the gospel can't be stopped, and it's moving forward. And we need to have eyes to see and ears to hear and look for those opportunities that the Spirit gives us to bear witness to the name of Jesus and what he's done. Because after all, if death can't be stopped, then there's really nothing that can happen in world history that's going to hinder the advance of the gospel. So may we trust in the one who has overcome every roadblock by overcoming death. And may we trust in the Spirit to lead us to bear witness to him when the opportunity arises. And may we see every roadblock as a potential opportunity. Amen.